A few things are more valuable to a farmer in the West than water. And when there is not enough, tempers can flare over water rights. In rural Nevada, a shrinking aquifer forced one ranching community to grapple with water scarcity in a real way. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radall has more on what they decided to do.
It's a hot summer morning in Diamond Valley, Nevada, and hay farmer Marty Plaskett is standing next to an irrigation pivot, a large rotating sprinkler system that's watering his green alfalfa field.
This water here is spraying mainly in the crop canopy, so it's spraying directly to the ground.
These low-elevation sprinklers reduce his water use and waste. For years, Plaskett used elevated sprinklers that sprayed more plants at once. Sometimes, colorful rainbows would show up in the mist, a sight Plaskett used to enjoy. He can't anymore.
Now it makes me sick to my stomach because any water that's leaving by evaporation, it's going up in the air. So, I mean, it's the worst thing to see water drifting anymore.
To Plaskett, any water that's evaporated is wasted. And this valley can't afford to waste any water. For decades, state officials let farmers overpump the aquifer in Diamond Valley. It's caused groundwater levels to drop by an average of 2 feet every year. And without water,
your land value is zero. You have no livelihood. See you later. So that wasn't an option for us.
Faced with that threat, farmers got together in an attempt to shoulder the burden together. They were able to do that because the state declared Diamond Valley a critical management area, Nevada's only basin with that designation. They had 10 years to put together a groundwater management plan. If they didn't succeed, the state could turn off at least half of the farmers' wells. The oldest rights would be protected, the newer ones were vulnerable. Jake Tibbetts oversees the county's Natural Resources Department. He says doing nothing wasn't an option.
We're taking water out much quicker than it's being replenished by Mother Nature. So that becomes the big issue here, is it's something that we can't continue on that path forever.
So Tibbetts helped develop a plan that was approved by most of the valley's water users and later greenlit by the state. It required all irrigators to reduce their use, spreading cuts over time. That's a drastic change from how most water law functions in the West, says Philip Womble with the Woods Institute for the Environment at Stanford University.
This is the only place where a groundwater system that is only implementing that priority-based water rights system has transitioned to a different allocation scheme that shares shortage.
But not everyone is in favor of sharing shortages, especially those farmers with senior rights. They sued to keep the groundwater plan from moving forward. One plaintiff was Sadler Ranch, a cattle operation with some of the oldest water rights in the region. Ranch manager Levi Shoda says those rights shouldn't be messed with. He's not against a groundwater management system, but he sees the approved plan as a loss, not only in the value of the ranch, but also in the way of doing things.
We see water rights as a private property right. And when you start taking private property rights and giving them to some, like reallocating them to somebody else, I think you're crossing a line.
Despite legal challenges from Sadler Ranch and two others, the Nevada Supreme Court upheld the contested plan in a 4-3 ruling this June. The ranch's request for a rehearing was denied late this summer. Without any more legal barriers, the new plan is on track to be implemented next irrigation season, starting in the spring of next year. Back on the hay farm, Plaskett says he knows there's no guarantee that this plan will work, but they had to try something to protect their futures, even if it means everyone is getting less water.
It's just the need to have the long-term vision. I mean, it's not about me. It's about our kids or whoever comes next.
He adds that this plan is unique and might not apply in other regions of the West dealing with water issues. In other words, the ripple effects coming from Diamond Valley may be small, at least for now. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radall.
This story is part of ongoing coverage of water in the West, produced by the Mountain West News Bureau and supported by the Walton Family Foundation. And it's not just water that can lead to fights in the West. Fence lines and getting access to public lands is also a volatile subject. Some people are using a practice known as corner crossing to get across the private property on their way to public land, and it is causing controversy as the Mountain West Newsboro Will Walkie reports.
The best way to understand corner crossings is to drive around on a public road through southern Wyoming. I explored the small town of Elk Mountain on a recent windy day.
I passed several pronghorn, a herd of cows, some deer, and zero cars.
Fence lines, which define where public land ends and private land begins, form a grid. That's an old relic of the 1800s, when railroad companies were granted plots in a checkerboard pattern. Today, it means parcels are intermingled.
On my left is a fence line with signs that say private property, no trespassing. On my right is a fence line that says the same thing, and I'm looking at a corner.
Buzz Haddock is co-chair of the Wyoming chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. He says hunters, hikers, and others once needed topographic maps to stay on public land. Today, he can move from one plot to the other without setting foot on private property.
It was just finding the corner pin and then just stepping from one piece of public ground to another piece of public ground using a GPS.
This usually happens with no conflict, but recently, corner crossing made headlines after four hunters from Missouri used a ladder to go over a fence near Elk Mountain. They never set foot on the 22,000-acre ranch and say they warned the local sheriff's office.
The fact that they built the ladder, they contacted all these people, to me says they were doing everything they could to not cause conflict.
But the hunters were sued and charged with trespassing. The main argument is that stepping over private property violates the landowner's airspace. Jim Magagna is with the Wyoming Stock Growers Association. He often moves his herds across the checkerboard.
For us as ranchers, those boundaries between private land and public land and state trust lands and that, they exist on a piece of paper.
However, he argues that allowing the public to move through could severely damage his economic well-being, safety, and personal freedoms. His association has filed in court supporting the airspace argument, but it's still a legal gray area.
If the federal law is going to control that, then we've lost significant property rights. We've devalued private property in the state in many instances because you no longer have the control of your private property that we have all assumed we had.
On Elk Mountain, the landowner is a businessman from North Carolina, likely worth over $300 million. He claims the damages just from that one corner crossing could be more than $7 million. Hunters like Haddock say that's ridiculous.
I mean, how do you own the air? You can't own air.
We reached out to the landowner's lawyers, but haven't heard back. The hunters were found not guilty for criminal trespassing by a jury in Wyoming, but how this civil case ends up could have major impact in the West. One study found that more than 8 million acres in the region are corner locked.
Public lands are the greatest gift to the U.S., period.
Many people call for creating corridors on each corner, cleanly defining where the public can and can't cross. The Stock Growers Association recommends land exchanges to eliminate these choke points. But even if no compromises happen, the lawsuits have an impact.
Deer, elk, antelope, small game.
Liz Lynch was a vegetarian for half her life before she discovered hunting. Disputes like the one near Elk Mountain worry her.
It's scary, you know? I don't want to have to be the next person paying $30,000 to cover attorney fees for two misdemeanors.
Wyoming isn't the only place where folks are fighting over public access. In Colorado, anglers are sparring with private clubs over fishing rights. In Utah, tensions are escalating between the U.S. Forest Service and a landowner over a road to a popular skiing and hiking spot. Aaron Weiss with the think tank Center for Western Priorities says conflicts like these are likely to keep happening.
As this changing West comes in, the billionaires buying up ranches, climate change, the technological change, because we all have GPS in our pockets, and it's created this scenario where I think all of it is coming to a head.
The corner crossing lawsuit is scheduled in federal court next summer. For now, it's best to watch your step as you explore the Western checkerboard. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Will Walkie in Elk Mountain, Wyoming.
You've been listening to Idaho Matters from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette.